Sound check. Test. You can hear me, right? Right, welcome to the first lecture of digital forensics. It's IMT 4114, so introduction to digital forensics. My name is Andrei Shalaginov, so I'm going to teach this course through semester. I will be giving lectures. We also will have some guest lectures. We'll have a lab week where you're going to learn some practical stuff, how to do the digital forensics. Today it's more introductory lecture where I'm going to talk about practical announcement, about housekeeping, about all possible things that you need to know before the start of the course. So what is digital forensics? So in movies, as you've probably seen, it's very easy. You just need to find the right folder and then you find all the evidences. So it's pretty trivial. Unfortunately, in real life, it's not that easy because we have so many different sources of digital data. So we have all possible mobile phones, we have all possible smart technologies, we have all possible cameras around us, so that's not that easy. And of course, we are talking about a large amount of data. So you learn in this course that it's not just about the technology that you're using in digital forensics, but also about amount of data. So as you know, big data, it's a very famous paradigm where we are looking at the huge amount of data that cannot be possibly processed using a simple laptop. So usually it's too much data in digital forensics that need to be processed. It's an example of the equipment that it's the pictures that I took at the Carabinieri forces in Rome. So it's the forensics, main forensics laboratory in Italy. And you can see, when it comes to the field work and the lab work, it's a tremendous amount of techniques and let's say things that they need to use for different types of tasks. Like for example, on the right picture, in the bottom here, you'll see it's an interesting device where they're using licensed products. So they use licenses from different software developers, and if one of the police officers need to work on some case, they just select this license from the USB stick and they work. Another example is the mobile phone, or everything related to mobile phones. It's the company called Cellebrite. They develop different software and hardware tools for extracting data from mobile phones. Like on this picture, you can see a device on this side that helps to crack the PIN code in the mobile phone. So you'll just need to place the PIN code. There will be a special device that will press on the screen, and if the layout of the screen changes, then the device makes assumption that the PIN code has been cracked. So it's a lot of new technologies, a lot of things. It's actually a big industry now when it comes to digital forensics and digital forensics products. So as I mentioned, I'm going to talk today about us, people who are involved in this course. It will be four people involved. The content, papers, and projects. So you'll need to form yourself into groups, maximum five people. We can technically allow six, but usually it's no more than five people. You'll need to select papers, and you need to select also projects that you're going to deliver later, and that will be part of the grade. So the first person is Jan Willem. I have to know that he's currently on leave until early December, so he won't reply to your emails. If you have any questions, you can just forward them to me. So Jan Willem has just defended his PhD in information security, and you probably will see him later in your studies or when you're taking the master project. So It's a lot of, let's say, ideas and recommendations from Jan-Willem, but what you need to know that this course is quite comprehensive. You have lectures, guest lectures, you have papers, projects, you have also lab week. So it's very important that you start, you know, planning everything from the scratch and not in the end of the course. And if you have any issues, you can just send an email. So we'll be happy to have, you know, a meeting with you on campus or on Zoom. And there are some books that Jan-Willem recommends for you know, improving, for example, writing of the reports, because you will need to deliver a report that has to be like academically structured, and it needs to have a proper structure. Yes, Jeff Hamm, so he's a former police, Detroit Police Department officer. He's been working in digital forensics for many, many years, I think more than 20. He's currently in Germany, also working with digital forensics and incident response. And he's coming during the week, I believe it's week 40. And it will be exciting because you'll have quite many hours of practical experience with different cases and different tools. So we'll post more information on the Blackboard. About myself, so I'm working in the high school in Christiania, but I have 20% position here at NTNU, teaching digital forensics. And you also probably will see me in the course called Data Science for Security and Forensics. I'll talk also about the background and things that we are doing, because I'm part of the Digital Forensics Group and the Malware Lab. So I'm sure that when it comes to master thesis, you will be interested in doing some interesting projects related to malware. One of the projects that I've been involved, and actually after this this document, it's related to computer viruses on the copyright infringing websites. Like, for example, how many of you tried to download Game of Thrones or Justin Bieber without registration? Haven't tried. Right. So it's a very common source of infection for the computers, especially Windows. I've seen some macOS viruses. The challenge that when a person looks for Justin Bieber without registration, for example, it's often that the person will get some kind of piece of software that will be installed on the computer, and that will probably steal some data or change some data, or will install additional software. So it's quite a big dark industry, I would say. Another thing that we've been working a lot, and you will see it in different projects, on the smart cities and police work of the police in smart cities. We had a group of students and researchers attending the international competition on policing in smart cities in Interpol. And so all of these people are from NTNU, from this department, part of the digital forensics, Norwegian cyber range. And we actually won the competition on the best idea for the policing in smart cities. So I'd just like to highlight that, you know, you'll have a lot of opportunities through your study to participate in different projects and exciting, you know, initiatives. So please be active when it comes to, you know, to such projects and competitions like CTF, for example, because it's quite exciting opportunities, and later you'll get exposed to, you know, probably international environment. Right, things that I work particularly, and things that, for example, if you want to work on the master thesis and you're interested in these technologies, you can reach out to me, and we can create a master topic. So it will be in about one year time. So I'm working a lot on IoT, cyber defense, and digital forensics, like how you can use artificial intelligence for detecting computer viruses on Internet of Things. Work a lot also on the malware analysis, like how to How to analyze malware both statically and dynamically so that we can discover, you know, some artifacts and discover properties of the files that can indicate that actually this is a malware. And of course, smart cities. So it's a fantastic domain now. You know, the Dubai, for example, Singapore smart cities, we have Oslo smart city, we have Jovik smart city initiative. So it's a lot around how we can make, you know, cities secure and more safe. Like when it comes to generic IoT ecosystem, so how many of you know what is IoT? Right, so IoT is the Internet of Things. Internet of Things is all type of smart technologies, smart devices that you can find out there, like smart homes, smart alarms, Google Nest, for example. So it's types of the devices that we are talking about. And they're all connected to the internet. So we have all these devices around us. And there are a lot of challenges when it comes to security, because technically the idea often is to provide this nice and fancy service, you know, of collecting the data from the sensors. Unfortunately, there are a lot of vulnerabilities. And often they don't use encryption because the lack of battery life. So you can use, for example, device with encryption that will run for 6 hours, and without encryption it can run for like 5 days, for example. So that's a trade-off. And of course, we can see a huge amount of different cyber threats. So cyber threats, you know, ranging from a simple, you know, physical tampering, authorization, denial of service attacks, up to advanced persistent threats and distributed denial of service attacks. So when it comes to smart applications, we have the conventional approach when, for example, you have a device like Arduino or Raspberry Pi that reads some sensors like temperature, humidity, I don't know, for example, brightness sensor, and then transform it to some kind of signals, like if it's too hot in this room, then the device will send a signal to open the door. Right, so this is a conventional application. Now it's a lot about using the artificial intelligence or, for example, machine learning or data science to process and to make more intelligent predictions and more intelligent solutions. Like, for example, you can plan the illumination of the street based on the time of the year and based on the, you know, weather forecast. So it's more kind of advanced and more intelligent applications. And you will see a lot of these applications around us. Like one of the projects that I'm working on is the application of AI for cybersecurity and also for incident response, where we can place, you know, small agents on the devices to monitor the network, to monitor like what's happening, you know, if there are any indicators of compromise available or any of the attacks happening. So like here you can see that, you know, we can have a distributed network of conventional solutions like antivirus intrusion detection systems, but also we can have a range of artificial intelligence or machine learning agents placed at the different levels. How many of you try to use Raspberry Pi or Arduino? Fantastic, quite impressive. So this is the technology that I'm talking about. It's of course, we have, you know, hundreds of different devices. And also I will have a lecture on this, like on the IoT security and IoT forensics. But technically this is the set of devices that is used in 99% of the solutions in smart homes, smart alarms, and so on. So it's usually STM32, Arduino, for example, Atmel chips, and others. Now, another topic that I'm working on is analysis of malware, so computer viruses. For Windows, for example, it's called the format of the binary file called portable executable. It can be executables, it can be dynamically linked libraries, so it's all types of files. And then I'm looking in the particular task of multi-class classification. Like, for example, well, we have, you know, a normal file, we have a virus. But what if we go into the types of viruses? Like, you know, you have worms, you have Trojan horses, you have Trojan downloaders, for example, ransomware. And then you have also the families, you know, some kind of specific family, like Mirai botnet for IoT. So it's type of things that you know, you can explore in the malware computer virus analysis domain. It's quite fascinating. We have a lot of data, so the data that we've been aggregating for many years. If you're interested in this type of research, you can talk to me or you can talk to Gerolf Dirkobotten. He's also he's head of malware lab, and he's working a lot on malware analysis. Now, there is an interdisciplinary project where we look at how we can use also artificial intelligence for computer viruses. And in this case, it's a huge area because, you know, we can look at the byte level, like, for example, taking a virus and looking at the sequence of bytes, if there are any, like, irregularities. We can look at the opcode analysis, like assembly level, machine codes analysis, if there are any, like, irregularities or patterns in that particular domain. We can use pheader, so portable executable header, when we know that, for example, the computer viruses of a type worm will have a certain range of, you know, size. So, for example, from 1 kilobyte to 10 kilobytes. And then we can get about 100 different metrics from portable executable header. And then do the magic. So the magic here is level 2 and level 3, and level 4. So when we create an intelligent system that takes in unknown binary and then says that, okay, 99% this is a Trojan horse, or 99% this is a good file. So it's type of the projects that we are working on. And the data that I mentioned, it's just one of the examples of the data. We've been collecting a lot of samples of viruses. Like for this project, it was multinomial classification. As I mentioned, we're not looking at whether files are good or bad. We're looking at what types of, you know, what types or families of computer viruses we have. So we don't really care about the good part because it was explored enough before. So we're looking how we can build efficient classification and distinguish between one type of worm and another one. Like the data that we used in this project, it was 328 malware samples, and it's about 10,000 families, so 10,000 different families of malwares, which resembles 35 categories like Trojan, worm, and so on. You can see the brief statistics of the families and of the types. So it's quite exciting area. If you're interested in malware research, please feel free to reach out and talk to us. So that was the domain introduction of what things that we are doing and, you know, things that we are working. Now I'm going to talk about the course itself. So the course, as I mentioned, is quite comprehensive. I know that some of you are attending online today and will be attending through semester, so we'll try to make this course as convenient for you as possible, those who cannot, for example, travel to Jovik and have to study remote. So all of the lectures, they will be recorded on forelesning.hig.no. If not, it will be on Zoom, and also all of the materials you'll find on Blackboard. Now, through the course, you will learn about the methodological aspects of the digital forensics. So how to use, like, for example, we have normally 8 different stages of digital forensics, starting from things that, you know, the first responders, what police does on this crime scene, and also heading towards the lab work. Like, if you get, you know, a set of devices, what's next? How you extract the data? How you make sure that you didn't change the data? If the device is broken, like, what's next? Like, can you do anything about it? Also, what kind of data you can find on the internet, like open source threat intelligence, open source intelligence, social network forensics, and so on. You learn about legal aspects, you learn about the data analytics part, and you learn also modern technologies and modern tools that are used for digital forensics. So as I mentioned, there will be a lab, week 42, which will give you an understanding, more like hands-on understanding of, you know, things, how to start, how to make sure it's more on the software level that you didn't tamper or you didn't, you know, change the hard drive or the image of the hard drive. You didn't change anything by using, for example, MD5 hash sum just to validate the integrity. So you will be exposed to all of these, you know, technologies and things that are needed. It's not just digital forensics; it's also incident response. How to provide the timely incident response if something happened in the organization? Like, what's next? Do we have a backup? Because there are commonly two types of, you know, users that have backup and that don't. So, like, what happens next? How we approach it, how we make sure that this doesn't happen again. What if it's a criminal activity? That's a completely different story. So the course book, have you already gotten this course book? Perfect. So this is the main book written by Andre Ornes and some of our colleagues here at Jovik. So I strongly recommend to read this book. It's very interesting, first of all, and it's very dense on the material, selected materials for digital forensics. So that's, I think it's one of the best books on in the library. Now the course structured in several, as I mentioned, lectures or sessions. So we'll have every week one guest lecture and we'll have one lecture. On Wednesdays, you also have a time when you can sit together in an auditorium and work on the projects, for example, on the paper presentation. So technically, we'll have, you know, everything related to the chapters in the book, like the digital forensics process, cybercrime law, forensics readiness, computer forensics in general, mobile embedded forensics, internet forensics, and also we'll talk about the challenges in digital forensics. That's the schedule, so approximate schedule that has been set for the course. So please check and read those chapters in the book. So from 1 to 8 for the corresponding lectures. So we expect the lectures to be finished on 25th of October, and then you'll have time to work on the projects. Now, one of the important parts in NTNU quality assurance process is the reference group. So some of you probably heard about the reference group, but we need 3 volunteers for the reference group. So we need 1 volunteer from the local cohort who is studying here in Jovik, somebody who is from the experience-based part, and somebody who is the remote, the part-time study, so that we can have, you know, the dialogue with the students. We can have the dialogue on what, for example, can be improved, what things you'd like to see in the course, what things can be changed, and so on. So this is more like a representative of the class, or 3 representatives of the class. Now, we have several components in the overall course evaluation. So we have the final exam. It's digital, but I think this year it will be on campus. So please check the NTNU webpage and also student web which are the primary source of information. And then I think it will be on in Spera, but it will be also on campus. Project reports, 49% of the grade. You will need to deliver project report and give a presentation of the report. It will be second half of November, so we'll find the suitable dates. This also can be done remotely, like you can participate in Zoom if you cannot come to campus. And the grade will be over, average of these two. I got a question from some of you that what if you've taken already, you know, for example, the project part before or the exam part before. So I think before it was allowed to take, you know, the missing part, so the second part. But I advise you to talk to the exam office because they are handling the grades and the calculation of the grades so that they can register you in the proper, let's say, system. Now the course structure, we, as I mentioned, we have the guest the main lectures today, Friday, so it's the first lecture. But yes, please. So the question is whether the exam is a individual or a group exam. So the exam will be individual, but there will be a group project. So that's the difference. An exam usually, I will talk a little bit later about the exam. So exam usually 3 hours, and it covers all the domains that we studied in the course. So you're expected to read the book to pass the exam. You're expected to attend the lectures, guest lectures, and you're expected to attend also the lab week, so that you know you have the complete understanding of the subject. Slides will be available on the Blackboard as well as other relevant materials. So I'm going to post every time after the lecture all the materials on the Blackboard. The guest lectures. The guest lectures is, let's say, a component once a week, 45 minutes, where we invite people with the experience in this area. So it can be from Jovik, for example. It can be people from abroad. We'll have some guest lectures from abroad also. Where you're going to learn about like different technologies like, you know, cyber defense, artificial intelligence for forensics. You learn about the viruses. So it's quite excited. And then also the lab week, it's something that I strongly recommend you to attend. It will be a bit intense. I think it will be 3 or 4 days of about 4 or 5 hours. Presentation, not the presentation, but the lab work that you'll need to perform in the class. So the two other components is paper. So once you form the story first, you need to form the groups. So the groups, as I mentioned, can be up to 5 people. You'll go to Blackboard, you register, you select the group, and you register. So we have 3 letters. It's usually L local in Jovik, E experience based, and I think it was R remote students. So you need to form a group. Just talk to each other. If you cannot find a group after some time, please contact me so that we can, you know, find some solution. But technically, once you find a group, you'll need to select a paper that you will need to read and also prepare a presentation. It will be a video presentation that you need to upload. So this is not graded, but this is mandatory. And then also there will be a project. So for the papers and for the projects, you will use your own group. For the exam, it will be individual exam. Attendance. So the papers that I mentioned, there will be 8 papers. So you just select whatever you like, and then you start working. So you need to read, you need to analyze the paper, you will need to prepare the presentation. So the guidelines will be published on the Blackboard as well. So there will be cases where, you know, the same paper, paper will be presented by 2 or 3 groups. So this is normal, because you just need to upload the video to the Blackboard. So we'll publish again the schedule when and where you need to upload it, but technically it will be at least in a few weeks' time, so that you know you have time to prepare, and we also will have time, you know, to check and mark those gradually. So the group work, five students, as I mentioned, the local remote and remote experience-based students, because I know that here we have about 20 students now, but in overall it's about 100 students attending this course remotely. So we try to accommodate all the, you know, needs, and it's best if you have, for example, you know, local students in a local group and remote students in the remote group, so that you can adjust to your like time schedule and you can adjust to your type of attendance. So you need to register, as I mentioned, your group membership on the Blackboard. I think there are already different groups created, so you just assign yourself. And then you start working on selecting the papers. Papers are also uploaded to Blackboard. And then you also need to select the project. So the project is rather open task where you can do some, for example, theoretical task, you can do some practical, for example, evaluation, but please make sure that you deliver the project report in the end. So yeah, we recommend avoiding the mix of local and remote students, because like, for example, for local students, you can meet here on campus, and for remote students, you cannot really come to campus every time for the meeting. So it's just from our experience, this is best works when we have different types of groups. So again, if you don't have anyone to join you, or you cannot find a group, please contact within 1 or 2 weeks if you cannot find, so we can see a possible solution. Now the project is something where you will present how you learn the course material. As I mentioned, it can be theoretical, where you try to analyze a particular area. It can be practical, where you can, you know, try to run some, for example, tests on the mobile applications, penetration testing, things like this. So there will be also a final report that you will need to deliver to Inspera. So the deadline will be about between 20 and 26 of November, so sometime end of November. And the final report will be graded. Also, there will be presentations, oral presentations of the project report. So it's another colleague of mine, Guo Changli, who will probably announce it on the Blackboard. And then you will need to talk to Guo Chang to find a suitable time so that your group can present. Normally, it's great if the whole group can attend. If not, you can talk to Guo Chang about possible solution. It's either just a few students from the group present, or maybe you sent a video. So it depends on your particular situation. So I know that for some of the experience-based students, this is particularly challenging to find this time slot, but you will need to talk to Guo Chan about the planning. There will be a few deadlines. So first, once you form the group, probably this or next week. So I recommend don't take too much time to, you know, to find your group and assign in the Blackboard. But once you find a group, you'll need to select a topic. So I will post the links over the weekend or early next week, where you need to select that the paper, like P1, will be used by group, for example, L3 and R1. There will be also a need to prepare a short project description. So as I mentioned, project is quite open. However, you will need to select a domain, like which domain you want to work on. And you'll need to write a short abstract and also submit it to Blackboard. Do you have any questions so far? So I hope it's understandable. First, create the group, select the paper, think about the project. So the list of papers you have in these slides, the list of areas for the projects I will publish. So you'll need to select like which area you're working, like for example, mobile forensics, encryption, and so on. And then you will have the final presentation of the project, and you will need to deliver also the report, which is 12 pages maximum, including the references. So we expect that you deliver it to Inspera, and it will be part of your final grade. Now, sometimes we encounter challenges in the groups, like sometimes, you know, like you want to work on different projects, you cannot really find this consensus, or any other issues, so please try to resolve it inside the group first. Talk like it happens that, you know, the groups change composition during the semester, so some people leave, some people you know, join, so this is, it happens. If you have some issues that you tried but you cannot resolve yourself, please contact me, so then I can try to assist in, you know, changing the group or adjusting your, let's say, format of your interaction, so that, you know, you can deliver this project in the end. It's something that you'll need to see through the project work, that you start as early as possible, so that by, for example, November or mid-November, you already have your project report at least in the draft format. Of course, you can send it like to me if you need any feedback or if you need any, you know, help, or if you have a problem to select the topic. So you can talk to me, and then we can find, you know, some interesting topic and relevant. The report must use also academic format, so it can be two column IEEE, it can be one column ACM, for example. So it's up to you which format you use. But it has to be an academic report, so it means that you need to have, you know, the title, you need to have the names, abstract, introduction, short literature review, methodology, experiments, if you have those, results, and then discussions and conclusions. So I will post more information in coming week about the project. So the project topics, as I mentioned, is just the areas, right? So it's up to you how you form, like steganography and forensics or analysis is quite interesting technique. How many of you heard about this technique before? All right, so this is how you can hide the information in the images or in the videos. You'll see also this type of tasks on the capture the flag events, you know, on the hacking competitions. So anyway, this is one of the topics that you can select. It's the area, it's up to you. Like, for example, you can do the steganography analysis on the JPEG, PNG, for example, or BMP, or, you know, whatever type of format you select. Next topic is overview of the digital forensic standards. There are a lots of standards, like over the last 20, 25 years, they've been so many different digital forensic standards, and also description of the digital forensics process. So the process that I mentioned, that you also can, you know, try to find and analyze what works best, for example, for the Internet of Things, what works best for the mobile forensics, you know, for the particular text analysis. So it's up to you again. Next one is smartphone memory forensics. So smartphones, now we have Android, we have Windows, we have Apple. So it's up to you how you can, you know, work on this topic. So you can analyze the novel trends. You can analyze how, you know, the memory forensics in the smartphone changed over, let's say, 5-10 years. Anti-forensics techniques for the internet crime, how to hide and lay the false tracks, like, for example, what if one is using Tor when accessing the websites. The next one, big data. As I mentioned, we have so much data that it's hard to analyze on the simple laptop. we need to have a huge computers for this. You can look in the cases like Panama Papers or Enron data set, you know, when it's really a lot of data, and if you need to find some pieces of evidences or pieces of data, you'll need to use some advanced techniques like artificial intelligence. So, but again, it's up to you how you structure this and how you select. Cloud forensics is an interesting thing because it's not something that, you know, you can take this device and you have all the data inside the device that is stored in this particular country. For cloud forensics, you have a lot of challenges, especially related to cross jurisdiction, when, you know, one part of data located in US, another part of data located in Australia. So how you approach it, how you extract the data, and how you make sure that the data are not changed in the cloud. So it's a very interesting topic. It's though quite challenging. Mobile malware forensics. So this is something related to computer, or let's say viruses for mobile phones. Like, you probably know Android is one of the most popular platform among malware developers, because until recently it was so easy, you know, to install the malware. You just need to tick off that box, like install the third-party applications. You go to any of the shady websites, you download APK file, and here you go, you have your own virus on your phone. So it's quite easy. Of course, you know, there is a ongoing work on hardening the security of the Android awareness. You know, different platforms like Google, they also offer, you know, validation whether it's any threats available in the application, and so on. Because normally, if you install application that is from the third-party website, so you don't know the website, and the application is something like, for example, it shows the GPS coordinates, but the application itself requests 20 permissions, like read SMS, make a call, connect to the internet, and so on, then you should be alerted, because this is not what is needed for the GPS and the compass. So it's an interesting topic as well. And now, encrypted evidence. How we approach the encrypted devices, how we approach the encrypted mobile phones, for example, computers. So this is something that is very common now, because, as you know, like, encryption is de facto standard. Over the last, I would say, 5-7 years, you know, internet kind of moved to encryption. So it does not take too much computational power now in comparison as before. We have the SSL, we have the HTTPS now on the 99.9% of the websites, and we have all the encryption, you know, on the mobile phones, on the computers, and so on. I recommend that we take a break until 9:05 to refill the coffee, and then we proceed. Test. Can you hear me? Perfect. Right, welcome back. Do you have any questions? Yes, please. So just send me email. I'll send it. It's Guy Rulov, Dirkelbotten. So you can write NTNU and NTNU Malware Lab, and you will just Google it, and you will see him. Or if not, just send me email. I can put you in contact. Any other questions? All right. So these are the topics that you, or not the topics, the areas that you can select and you know create your own project. So it's. I think you can use this opportunity to specialize in some of the areas if you'd like, because it will be quite some hours of work that you can put in the project. Other than that, as I mentioned, start working early. Try to, you know, first of all, find all relevant literature. Try to find some, like, a research question or the problem that you want to explore and that you want to solve in this project. And also document everything, but please make sure that you follow the 12 pages format or the limit precisely, because sometimes, you know, if you get like 20 pages project, which is, well, you know, we ask for 12, we didn't ask for 20. So please select, you know, only relevant text and only relevant material that you put in the project report. So it can be, for example, screenshot, it can be analysis of the relevant articles, but respect the size of the project report as well. And as I mentioned, this is a mandatory part, so you need to complete this project. You need to complete the presentation of the project in order to make sure that you receive the final grade and you pass the subject and the course. So, things to do for the next week. First of all, join the group on the Blackboard. If you go to the, I believe it's under users and group, and you can select, you know, the group that you choose. If we run out of the groups that were pre-created there, please contact me. I'll make sure to create more. You'll need to select paper, as I mentioned, for your group. You need to select the project, at least for your group, which areas you're working on. And then work during the semester, so don't hesitate to ask the questions, because, you know, sometimes I get the question, can we talk about the project, like, you know, 1st of November, which is maybe a bit too late to make sure that it's a good project. So plan your time accordingly. So in overall, we'll have nine main lectures, nine guest lectures. I'm going to announce every guest lecture before, but I will also put a plan, you know, what kind of topics you're expected to learn in the guest lectures. Paper presentations, as I mentioned, you'll need to upload videos of your presentation, the paper that you read and analyzed starting, I believe it's 20th of September or later. I'll check the calendar, so we'll have this information. Lab week, there won't be any lectures or guest lecture during the lab week. The project work week, so after we completed all of the lectures and guest lecture, you'll have like 2 weeks to work on the project and prepare for the presentation. Project presentation delivery, it will be in November, most likely end of November. So the lab week, it's day-long labs over 1 week, but this year we might have it a bit shorter but more intense. So I think we'll have about 3 days and not more this year, but you'll have more hours during the daytime. And you will learn how to use the real tools and, like, for example, Redline and other scripts. So it will be available via live stream. You'll receive also information prior to the lab week. So everything will be posted on Blackboard so you can download and prepare yourself. Some of the lab week material can be on the exam, like, you know, the general process, digital forensics process, how to perform, like what kind of software tools you might have encountered, what kind of specific of those tools, like where you can use it, whether it's Windows, Linux, macOS, so all these things. We won't ask, you know, questions like what kind of flags you need to mount a hard drive in Linux. You know, if you use a mount command, like which flags you need to select the file system and so on. So we won't ask this question. But in general, you need to be able to understand and, you know, present that, okay, so if we have this laptop, which is Ubuntu, like what kind of tools we can use to extract the data, what kind of challenges you might have and how to tackle these challenges. So everything about the exam and the schedule you need to check on the official NTNU webpage. So I will try to keep things updated on Blackboard as much as I can. But for the official information about the exam, you need to check the URL that is posted on the slide. So all the information when, you know, which room will be also posted in the student web. So you also need to check this system to make sure that, you know the room and where it happens. I think this year it will be on campus, so it means that you won't have access to, you know, all of the materials, and it will be in Inspira. If you have any questions like how to make sure that, you know, you pass only exam and not the project because you have the project from before, you need to talk to the exam office. Theoretically, there have been some cases when people couldn't join because they live in other cities and so on. There are some options to attend exam, for example, from Trondheim. I know that we have some students in Trondheim. But for this, we need to, or at least you need to talk to the exam office that they know that you will be taken from the Trondheim, for example. And then they will find a room, they will find a person who will supervise the exam session and so on. So technically, it's possible. And the exam scheduled for 7th of December. So everything will be digital. There won't be any problems to follow the course even remotely, even though for the local students, we expect that you are on campus because, you know, it's a part of the learning process. You can work in the groups, you can talk, you can come and talk to me, you can, you know, see if you can find any interesting projects and talk to the department here in Jovik, and, you know, you can go to the labs, talk to the people in the lab, so it's quite beneficial for you to be on campus as the main room. And I will try to publish also the slides before the lecture so that you can, you know, check the content and you can follow it from the Blackboard. Now, when it comes to the learning, I'm sure some of you are interested in exploring, you know, extracurriculum activities. Of course, I will post, you know, the information about courses if there are any relevant about competitions. But technically, I would recommend you to visit the websites like Sansfir, E-F-R-I-R. So this is the tool that you can download, for example, and you can. So this is called Sans SIFT Workstation. Sorry, the resource, you know, for the digital forensics, and you can find a lot of interesting articles. You can find a lot of relevant tools. You can download the SIFT workstation. You can find some, you know, blogs from the, for example, companies like Mandiant. It's, you know, the big name in the digital forensics community. Celebrite Training on Demand. So sometimes they have free courses that you can take, for example, how to use Celebrite Reader, which is the tool for mobile forensics. So I would recommend to check the website. The other part is the software. So we have Flare VM by FireEye. So FireEye is, as some of you probably know, it's the team part of the Mandiant. So there've been some transitions over the years, but it's a great community and the team on malware analysis. Kali Linux, it's a low threshold system. You can download the ISO image and you can install and play. They have a lot of different tools categorized by by the application area, like for example penetration testing, malware analysis. There is an also open accessible open access book that you can download and work on Kali Linux yourself. So I can strongly recommend. It's one of the de facto standard software packages for penetration testing for ethical hacking. It's also very much updated. So they audit all of the packages that they submit on the top of the Debian package framework in Linux. And those are very much relevant and that are in use now. Autopsy 3, for SluiceKit as well, you can install as a standard package in Linux, for example. You can download Autopsy 4 from the website and also explore things and artifacts in the images. So this is the tool used for the analysis of the hard drive images. Now IDA Pro, they have a free version that you can download, but otherwise it's the tool that is de facto standard for computer virus reverse engineering. It's super advanced. You know, they have a lot of different platforms like 32, 64 bits. I think they can do even microcontrollers, if I'm not mistaken. But it's you need a license, even though you can try it for free. Radar 2, so it's not on this slide, but Radar 2 is kind of free analog for Linux, and you can also do the reverse engineering of the binaries. Volatility memory forensics, it's one of the fantastic tools where you can create a dump of the RAM and you can analyze all the artifacts that are there. There are a lot of plugins, so the tool is really fantastic. And of course you can check all the other tools that are available on the internet. Of course there are tools that it will be open source, it will be free, like in Kali, everything that is included in Kali, if I remember correctly, it's free under the licenses, free licenses. But things like IDA Pro, there will be a need to buy a license. Yes, so that was the introduction to the topic, to the course. I hope you have the understanding of what you're going to learn in the course and also the structure of the course. Do you have any questions? Yes. Sorry? So the question is whether we're going to touch the anti forensics, right? So we'll talk about it, like how, for example, to detect the traces in the system. Also, Jeff will present some of the things, some of the artifacts, how to approach the analysis of the artifacts, and so on. So it will be mostly during the lab week. Because it's a good question. The problem when a police gets a hard drive with all of the data is that what kind of relevant digital evidences they will find. So if something is concealed and they find only one part of the picture, then the decision later in the court might be biased. So that's a very good question. Thank you. Any other questions? Yes. Yeah, so the way how it works, we have a department, it's called NTNU IAK, and the department has a multiple research groups. So there will be a group like, for example, biometrics, there will be digital forensics group, malware lab, there will be... many more, like for example, system security group. So you have multiple groups, and if you're interested in some of the projects, if you're interested to join, some of the projects and initiatives, you can come directly to the, for example, head of the group, And the head of the groups you will find on the NTNU webpage. Just Google NTNU IAK research groups. And then you can talk to the head of the group if there are any projects, for example. And also you can talk if you need a topic for your master thesis later, next year. So it's quite open. Just approach people and see if they have projects, if anything interesting. So it's, I'm sure you will get some good response. Yeah. Any other questions? Well, if not, then thank you for attending today. It's quite a big amount of students after, you know, teaching 2 years with Corona. So I'm really happy to see, you know, people in the room, because usually it was me and a few other students, mostly attending online. So it's really nice to see people again. And good luck with the projects and the course. Thank you.